Okay, what I'd like to look at this evening is, time permitting, more than one thing. I'd like to look at the end of Shmon Esrei. I'd like to begin by looking at a question, an issue that bothered me for a very long time. And I think it's a question that anyone who's ever thought about Shmon Esrei is bothered by this question. And I'd like to try to suggest a direction that, and along the way, I think we're going to see some very, very important concepts in Tefillah. Very, very important concepts. Some of which will develop b'hemshech, and some of which will speak for themselves. The question is a very simple question, okay? But it's a glaring issue. The Gemara says in Brachon Adaf Lamed Dalet Min Aleph, we all know this Gemara, right? The Gemara says, we'll start from the third line, Amrav Yehuda, Lo'olam al Yishal Adam Tzrachav, Lo B'shalosh Rishonot, Lo B'shalosh Achronot, El B'mtzayot. D'Amrav Yechanina, Rishonot, Domeh Le'ebed Shemisader Shevach Upnei Rabba, Emtzayot, Domeh Le'ebed Shemivakesh Pras Merabba, Achronot domel eved shekibel pras merabo v'niftar v'holechlo. And the Gemara says that there are three phases to Shmon Esrei, as we all know. Okay, three phases of Shmon Esrei. There is shevach, bakasha, and hodah. And the Gemara says that one should only ask for one's needs, one should only be mevakesh in the middle section, right, in the middle brachot, not in the first three brachot, not in the last three brachot, but only in the middle brachot. And the Gemara gives an analogy, like an Eved who comes before his master, and first he says Shevach, then he asks for what he wants, then he says Hodah for what he got. Ad kan the Gemara. Now, if we look at the last three brachot of Shmon Esrei, the Hodah section, what are the three brachot? What are the three brachot? We have first brachot, and the last three is Ritzei. Okay. Then we have Modim, and then we have, let's say, Sim Shalom. Okay, welcome to the variations of Shalom, Shalom Rav, but okay, these are the three last brachot. So let's look at them for a moment. Okay? Ritzet, Hodah. Let's look at the words. Ritzet, Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Yisrael, Tzvata, Asher Tzvata, Shemitah. What are we talking about? Is that Hodah? Are we thanking Hashem for what we already have? No. Is there any Hodah in Ritzei?
No.
No Hodah in Ritzei. We have Bakasha. We ask Hashem to... Please, Bakasha, that's why it's there. We ask Hashem to accept our tefillot. We ask Hashem to return the Avodah, the Beit HaMikdash, right? Do we thank Hashem for anything in Ritzei? Feel free to pull out a sitter and look at the words. If you're not, you know, I'm sure you all know by heart, but in any case, think about the bracha ritzei. Is there any hodah in it?
No.
Not a word of hodah. It's filled with bakashot. We ask Hashem for many different things. We don't have, there's no hodah. Okay, so that's the first of the three. Modim, does it have hodah?
Yeah.
No problem. Definitely hodah, no problem. Sim Shalom. Hodah? You thank Hashem for anything in the third bracha of the three? Sim Shalom, Tova Bracha, what's Sim Shalom? We're asking or we're thanking?
We're asking.
We're asking. Okay, Sim Shalom, Tova Bracha. Is that the second? Hodah, is there any Hodah in Sim Shalom?
Yeah.
What? What do we say? So, it's a good point. However, let's put it in perspective for a moment. We're saying it's good, but, here's the but, okay? Think about the middle brachot of Bakasha, okay? How do all the brachot of Bakasha work? Is when you get, we ask Hashem for something, and what's the bracha always? For sure, but I'm saying, but what is, what do we do in the bracha? Do we ask for something in the bracha? You see what I'm saying? Think of, pick one. Let's say Rifa'enu, okay? We say Rifa'enu Hashem b'nei Rafa, etc. We ask Hashem to heal us, b'chule, b'chule. But what's the chatima? What's the bracha? Baruch Ata Hashem, Rofe, Chole, Amo Yisrael. And what's the bracha? Shomei Tefillah. Is that asking or stating that that's what Hashem does? Right. In other words, when we say the bracha, when we say the I'm saying the bracha itself, the last, you know, the actual bracha. So what you're saying is you're pointing out something that's true. But the only problem is that that's true of every bakasha that we make, right? And the point is that we say we're asking you, Hashem, for X because you are the one who does X, right? That's the nature of all the bakasha of Shemana Esrei. So you're pointing out something very important, but it's a whole different discussion. And Ezra Hashem, Lineder, I hope to touch on it, but understand that doesn't make it into a bakasha, because that doesn't make it into a hodah. That's simply that we're saying that in every single bracha, the reason I turn to Hashem to ask for this is because Hashem is the one who does that. Now it's deeper than that, it's more involved than that, and it's not our topic today, so I'm not going to get into it. But my point is that, you know what I'm saying, by that standard, so the whole middle section is Hodah, or Shavach, or whatever, you know, which it isn't. So that's not going to help us. So I ask again, Sim Shalom, do we ask or do we thank? We ask, right? Look at the words. Sim Shalom, Tova, Bracha, Chaim, Bakaz, Rachamim, Aleinu. Right? This is all Bakasha. So I have a very simple problem. Okay? We look at these three brachot. Where, number one, this is supposed to be the Hodah section. So presumably there's supposed to be bracha of Hodah. Number two, the Gemara specifically says, don't ask for your personal needs in these brachot. And from whichever perspective you want to, you know, whichever side you want to attack the problem, you know, how many of the three brachot that comprise this final phase of Shemoneh Esrei meet the job description? One out of three? You hear what I'm saying?
What you're saying, why can we ask? Why can we give a question?
I'm asking two questions, really. One question is, the Gemara says you're not allowed to ask, you're not supposed to do bakasha during the third section, so what are we doing bakasha? And the second question, that's a secondary question, really. That's the second question. That's more of a technical question. The real question I'm asking is, what's pshat in this bakasha business? Why, I'm saying hodah. Why is the third section hodah? Only one third of it is actually hodah. So why do we say that the gimel achronot are hodah? That's a fair question, right? That's really the question I'm asking. Why is the third section hodah, but only one out of three? One out of three is not a very good track record, right? Isn't that true? It's the miut. It's not even the rove. It's one out of three. Don't answer this question. Is there anyone here who hasn't been bothered by this? And there's like a glaring question. No? If you ever stop thinking about Shemoneh Esrei, this last section, we all know, we've all learned that the last section, the last three brachot are hodah, except when you actually look at the words, they're not hodah. Right? Only modim is hodah. So why? How does that work? Okay, we're all bothered by this question, I hope. At least now. Oh, now you're okay. Better late than never. I said, okay. Sit. So I think it's a glare. But am I right? This is a glaring question. I mean, it's not like, you know, kash, like that's a ksos. This is, I mean, it's pasha. It doesn't make sense. You read the Gemara. It's a Gemara. We all know it. It doesn't make. Excuse me. Someone should raise their hand in the back of the room and say, you know, like, you know, Rav Ashi, I have a question. What do you mean the last three are hodah? What hodah? We're one out of three. So that's hodah. That's the last three are hodah. Okay, so we have to take it one bracha at a time.
Moser doesn't require explanation, but I'd like to take the A and C of it and try to explain to you what I think is going on. And I think that if we understand, in order to understand, we need to understand some very basic things. And time permitting, I hope to also discuss one other thing about the end of Shemoneh Esrei, which is a more of a technical point, but very, very important. It goes beyond that if we have time. But let's start with this. Okay. So first of all, let's start with the easy one, in a sense, and that's Sim Shalom. Okay? Sim Shalom. So, Sim Shalom, everyone please look at the bottom of the page. Okay, let's look at the bottom of the page. The Torah says, it's in Tav Kuf Pei Bet in Archaim, Ubisim Shalom, Samuch Lachatima, Mosifim B'Sefer Chayim Bracha V'Shalom, V'Yesh Me'aga Onim, V'Yesh Me'aga Onim, V'Yesh Me'aga Onim, She'ein, She'amru, She'ein La'omro, Mishum Dekai Malan, Gemara and Bracha Dach Lama Dalet, may sound familiar. Lo Yish'al Adam Tzrachav, Lo Begil Mishon, Lo Begil Lachronot. V'kein Kata B'Halachot G'dolot. V'kein Kata Baal Halachot G'dolot. Lo Yish'al Adam Tzrachav, Begil Mishonot, V'chulei. V'mehacha Lo Shavku Rabbanan L'neymar Afilu Zachreinu L'chaim. Magen. U'ktov, U'ktov L'chaim Tovim, B'modim, Nami Lo Amina. Continues the Bahag. Okay. Aval b'sefer chayim omrim b'sim shalom v'salku lu yudchet v'habu lu kitachanonim. So the Torah says that there are ga'onim. This may come as a, I'm sure you've learned this at some point, but the ga'onim actually say, there are ga'onim who actually say that you're not allowed to add in the things that we add in during Aser Yimei Tshuva. Okay? There's a change to Amelach HaKadosh and Amelach Mishpat. The story, but those are mentioned in the Gemara. But the change of adding in bakasho of zachreinu l'chaim, right? And not michamok, that's not bakasho, but zachreinu l'chaim and tov l'chaim tovim and b'sefer chayim. There are ga'onim who raise the question. Say, what do you mean? It's gimel rishon gimel achor. You're not allowed to add bakasho. You can't put in. You're allowed to add. But you can't put bakasho. You can't ask for things. There are Rishonim, who obviously we follow the opinion that justifies and says that's different because it's Yimei Adin, it's a time of crisis, you can, b'chulei, it's Tzibor, whatever answer we're going to give. But there are Gaonim who said you're not allowed to say. The Bahag, right, the Halachot Gedolot, one of the major works of the Gaonim, who wrote the Halachot Gedolot? Right. We don't know. Absolutely. Okay. There are many theories over the centuries, but the bottom line is we really don't know where the Halakha Gedolot is. A very good question. The Halakha Gedolot is written by the Bahag, by the Baal Halakha Gedolot, by the author of the Halakha Gedolot. Okay, so the Bahag writes, but it's a tremendously important sefer of the Gaonim, and the Bahag writes something very fascinating, the Torah quotes. He says that Zachreinu is a problem to say, because you can't ask for your needs during the first three brachot. Tov l'chaim tovim is a problem because you can't ask during the last three brachot. But b'sefer chayim, not a problem because you've already finished Shemoneh Esrei. What do you think? What? What do you think about what the Bahag says? Says the Beit Yosef, V'yesh me'aga onim shamru she'in lomro v'chulei v'chein kata ba'al alach gudolot lo yishal adam tzracha v'shalash v'shon v'chulei v'hachal oshav k'rabbanam l'meymar afilu zachreinu l'chaim v'magim v'chulei v'chein kata v'rashpa v'shmo so perak en omdim v'katmim v'simim kofi be'ah. Okay, aval ma shekatav d'ladah ba'al alach gudolot omer b'sefer chayim b'sim shalom mishum d'salku lehu shmoneh esrei. You finish Shemoneh Esrei. Fami Komer Tachanunim, it's like the things that we add after Shemoneh Esrei, like a kind of tzua, right? So, Achar Tfilato, Lo Re'itiv B'Shum Makom.
V'gam eino nira, I've never seen such a thing. It doesn't make sense. Eino nira tamza. In other words, if you're already going to say that you can't add these things, dekevan da'dayin lo chatam b'bracha, lo megresim tfilato. Ma pitom, you finished. You didn't say the bracha yet. Whoever heard of such a thing that you're done with Shemon Esrei before you say the bracha, you know, the final bracha of Sim Shalom? Everyone knows that you haven't finished Shemon Esrei yet if you haven't said the final bracha of Sim Shalom, right? It's the Pasha. What in the world is Baha'i talking about? So the Beit Yosef says, wrong. It's not a svar. You can't say such a thing. It's just wrong. Okay, it's an amazing thing. Rav Yosef Karo is an Achron, you know, early Achron, albeit first generation, but still. So argument with Bahag, one of the great gone, says it can't be. The Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Beit Yosef, says it doesn't make sense. What do you mean? You haven't finished Master. So we've got to stick up for the Bahag here, right? We're going to let the Rabbi Yosef Karo do this to the Bahag. We've got to explain the Bahag. What does the Bahag mean? Who wants to tell me? What does the Bahag mean that I finished Master?
Because you're saying that the categories.
Yeah. Fantastic. Great. Can you say it again so everyone can hear it loud and clear?
You finished with one of the categories.
Excellent. I'd like to elaborate a little bit on what you just said. Okay, but that's beautiful. Like this. The Bahag is saying the following. The Bahag is saying that this is not exactly accurate. We have to correct it a bit. And that the Pshat is really like this. That we have three phases of Shemon Esrei. Shavach, Bakasha, Hodah. Sim Shalom is really not the third bracha of this section, even though it's referred to that way. For, you know, it's an oversimplification. Really, the pshat is that the three phases of Shemon Esrei, of Shavach, Bakasha, Hodah, is really over. Sim Shalom is a separate entity. Sim Shalom is really a conclusion, a chatima of the whole Shemon Esrei. It's not part of the three phases. You understand? Okay? That's what you're saying, right? Yeah. Excellent. Yes?
What?
I'm trying to hear me. Yeah, go ahead. No. It's part of Shemon Esrei. That doesn't mean it's not part of Shemon Esrei. It means it's not part of this structure of Sheva Bakash and Hodah. Okay? Say, of course, it's true that it's part of Shemon Esrei, meaning that if you ask, you know, when do you take your three steps back, you ask when you can be Mavsik, yeah, for sure it's part of Shemon Esrei. But it's not part of this Ma'arechet, this structure of the three phases. It's its own thing. It's a Chatima for the entire Shemon Esrei. Beseder? Yes? Ah, good. So you're saying, well, you say, but doesn't the Gemara say the last three brachot are Hodah? So the answer is, I think the answer to that is the Ramban. Okay, the Ramban has a principle that he says in many different places. He says this in his Hasagot on Sefer HaMitzvot, and he says it in his Parash on Chumash, and he says it all over the place, many different svarim of his about different things. The Ramban has Yisod, and that he talks about in terms of Tanakh and in terms of Chazal, and that's the following. He says that we find both in Tanakh and in Chazal, both in Pesukim and in Chazals, in the Gemara, etc., that they will talk about a group and say something about the group, even if it's not true about every single one. It's only true about most of them. Okay? For example, one example that's a simple one in Chumash is the idea of when it talks about the 70, right, the Shivim Nefesh that come down to Mitzrayim with Yaakov. There aren't 70, right? Because Yosef and his sons were already in Mitzrayim. They didn't come down to Mitzrayim. But they're all part of one group of the family of Yaakov Avinu, and almost all of them are coming, you know, most of them are coming down to Mitzrayim, so it talks about it that way. There are many others that argument there. And as the Ramban suggests, when it says Tariag Mitzvah Nemar Lamosh Misina, it's not like all Tariag were Nemar Lamosh Misina. You can look, the Ramban says it's in a number of places, in Bresh, it says Sefer Mitzvah, Bechule. And then Pshat is like this, when it says that the last three brachot are Hodah, it's not true of all three. Because the third one is really not part of that Marechet at all. The third one is really a separate entity. But our Pirog, most of them are. Of course, you might ask me a question on what I just said, which is... Oh, right, because that would be good if two out of three, but only one out of the three. So that's not going to really help by itself until I deal with... That what I now have to deal with is the first, Ritzei. Yes?
Even though you're saying that most of them are, it's not like C is just talking about something else. You're saying it's not even part of it. You're
well,
saying it's like a conclusion, so it's not...
But that's exactly the point in which it's not part of the... in which it's not... What saying is not true of it. In other words, you're right. In other words, the point is that this is exactly the way in which it's not part of the three. It doesn't have the same characteristics as the three. As it is, there's a reason why it's included in the three. There's a reason why it's connected to the other two. And that's why it's put together with the other two. And if we have time, maybe we'll discuss that briefly. But I don't know if we're going to have time to do that today necessarily. Perhaps at a different time. Okay? But you're asking an excellent question, but I think that there's a good answer to it. But I want to deal with some of the more basic, some of the more fundamental issues here. What about Ritzei? What's the deal with Ritzei? And that's really the crux of it, to understand Ritzei. Sim Shalom, I think we can deal with as being kind of a... and by the way, I just want to show you, there's a fantastic riot to this Bahag, I think, because the Gemara says... Maybe you call it the Gemara in the first Perek of Bracha. It says that Hashem Tzvatai Tiftach, right? What does the Gemara say about Hashem Tzvatai Tiftach? That it's what? What does the Gemara call that? Tfila Arichta, right? It's an extension of Shemon Esrei. The Gemara says, why isn't it not a hefsek between Ga'al Yisrael and Shemon Esrei? After all, if we summon Gula Tfila, how can you say Hashem Tzvatai Tiftach? And the Gemara answers, it's Tfilah Arichta, it's part of Shemon Esrei. Okay? But if it's part of Shemon Esrei, I have a problem, because then it's part of the first three brachot, but you can't be Shol Tzra, and that's Hashem Svatai Tach is a Bakasha. Why? How do I do that? So we could give different answers. The simplest answer is that it's part of Shemon Esrei, but it's not part of this Marechet of the three stages. Right? It's the mirror image of Sim Shalom. Okay, let's put this on the back burner and let's focus our attention exclusively on Ritzei. What is Ritzei? So in order to understand Ritzei, we have to understand what's going on with these three phases of Shemon Esrei Bechlal. Let's go back to Gemara Brachot Daf Lamed Daled. Okay? Let's go back to Brachot Lamed Daled. Gemara Brachot Lamed Daled says as follows. Last sentence. Da'amar Rabbi Chanina, right, the last line and a half of the Gemara Brachot Lamed Daled and Aleph in this first box, okay? Da'amar Rabbi Chanina, Rishono domel eved shemisader shevach lifnei rabo, emtsayo domel eved shemivakesh pras me rabo, achrono domel eved shekibel pras me rabo v'niftar v'holechlo. The Gemara gives a mashal that Shemon Esrei is like, there are three phases. The first phase is like a servant who's coming to the master and first says the praises. The second is like an Eved that's coming and asking for something. The third is he got what he wants and he's saying thank you. I want to ask a simple question. What are we talking about? One event, one occasion, one Eved and his master on one particular day, one particular hour, or we're talking about three separate events disconnected one from the other? You see my question? Are these three Mishalim or is it one Mashal? What do you think? I don't know, I can't prove it conclusively, but I have a strong feeling. What do you think? You understand what my question is? You understand my question? Are we telling, is the Gemara telling, when the Gemara says that the first three brachot, the first section is like an Eved that's coming and being the Sader, the Shevach of the Adon. The second section is that it's like the Eved who's coming and asking for something. And the third is like the Eved who's thanking his master for what he gave him. Are we talking about three scenarios or one scenario? Three parts of a process or three separate events? You understand what I'm saying? So I think, I can't prove it to you, although I think it's an indication of this in the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Chet, which describes the bracha of Shmoneh Esrei as a process, not a, you know, a grab bag of things, but it's a process, and each one leads to the next thing. Nearly that the point is, and as we think about it, in the comparison to the Eved, why is he saying the Shevach of the other? He just popped in one day and he's saying Shevach Stam? Or is the point that that's an introduction to the fact that in his first, before he asks for what he wants, he first is saying the Shevach of the other? Is that what I'm saying? Nirali, that this is one long story. It's three pieces of one story. It's talking about an Eved. It was a Mashal. I mean, the Mashal is about an Eved who goes and he wants something. So he first goes to the Adon and he says, oh, my great master, v'chulei v'chulei, and says, and after he says, could you please grant me the following favor? And the master says, yes. And then he says, oh, thank you so much. And then he leaves. I think that's the simple reading of the Gemara, the more compelling reading of the Gemara. That it's talking about one long story. And I think that the Gemara is offering here a very, very important insight into the process of Tefillah, the process of Shemon Esrei. And that is that it's not that when I daven, I am thanking Hashem for certain things. And asking for other things, or let's say, typically, asking for certain things and thanking for other things. Meaning, you know, I have a checklist of things that could be good or bad, and, you know, I want or need, or I don't have, or I do have. And so I look at my list, and I say, well, let's see. On this list, I have things that, you know, I've already have, and these are the things I'm lacking. So this goes into the, you know, this one goes into the Bakasha, one goes into the Hodah. You know what I'm saying? But rather, it's a process. In other words, I turn to Hashem. And after the Shevach, I ask for what I need, and then I say Hodah. Obviously, I say Hodah for the things I already have, but I'm saying Hodah also for that which I just asked for. Meaning, I think that this is my shot along these lines of the Gil, in any case, that when I daven and I ask Hashem for whatever I ask for, I view it as if it's already been granted. I view it as if Hashem's already, you know, accepted my tefillah, and I move on. I say Hodah for. The point is that I think it's describing a process. It knows that I'm coming as the Eved before Hashem, and I say the Shevach. Then I say what I'm asking for, and then I thank Hashem for it. Everyone understand what I'm getting at? Come with me so far? Move one step further. How do I transition from the mode of needing and asking to the mode of thanking? Right? A moment ago I was asking for it. How's the now I'm thanking for it? The transition is Ritzei. Ritzei is the way I get from point A to point B, the way I get from the Bakasha to the Hodah. Meaning, what do I say in Ritzei? What's Ritzei? Ritzei is saying to Hashem what? What am I asking for? That he accept our tefillot. Ritzei Hashem, right? B'tefillot Amcha Yisrael, b'shei, I'm sorry, I can't describe to do this both at the same time. So I say Ritzei, Hashem Elokeinu b'amcha Yisrael, b'tefillotam, etc. I ask Hashem to accept our tefillot. And that's the transition from the future to the past, from the Bakasha to the Hodah. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So there's only one bracha on Hodah.
Ah, so what I'm saying is that there is a process of Hodah that has two stages. The beginning of the Hodah process is to turn from Bakasha to Hodah, and then we do the actual Hodah. But we say it's part of the Hodah. And he sees the Gemara Megillah as well. The Ritzei is part of the process of Hodah. Why? Because there's nothing to be to thank for until I've said Ritzei. Ritzei is that transition into the Hodah mode from the Bakasha mode, and therefore it's part of the Hodah section. It's a two-step process.
Why is Ritzei the transition? What about
Ritzei? Because Ritzei is the asking Hashem to accept our tefillot. Okay?
why would it be like that? Like, you're davening, like, you get to praise Hashem with three brachot, then you have to, you have all these brachot to make bakasha. Like, why is it that, like, it's only one, like, kind of 1.5 bracha that you're not, you're only taking Hashem in one bracha pretty much?
I mean, I don't know if the number is significant. You could ask the same question if it were three, and we have, you know, and we have 12 bakasha in the middle, and only, you know, only two hodot, only three hodot, you know. I'm not sure, like, that's the issue. The point is that these are the necessary steps. This is like the bakasha, it's the question of how many necessary steps there are. You know what I'm saying? And I think with the Gemara, yeah.
Yeah, but like, along those lines, if it, say, is a transition, and the one is just a conclusion, the line is just, what is it, is that the same category, it's just more different, it's only a...
No, because what I'm saying is that I think, and this is the Gemara actually says, that Ritze and Hoda, Ritze and Modim, are really two parts of one thing. It's all part of my being able to thank Hashem for it, because it's only because of the fact that I have this sense, and I'm moving into this mode of Hashem having accepted what I just asked for, that I make that transition. I mean, I think it's a process, that's part of the process. Of being modez, that first I have to, you know, say that I'm asking you to accept what I just said in our tefillot, and that it should be kilu tzari nitkabel, and then I can thank you for it. But I don't think this is a bakasha in the sense that the bakasha section is bakasha. I think it's rather a beginning of the process of hodah. Okay, it's beginning that process of hodah. It's not the culmination of it. That's modim, but it's the beginning of that process. There is, however, a question that I think we need to raise. If I'm right about what Ritze is, that Ritze is about, is it bakasha that Hashem accept our tefillot? Right? If that's true, that Ritze is a bracha about accepting our tefillot and therefore moving into the modem section, so we have to deal with something else. Because l'cha'ora, there's a, what I just described Ritze as, one might argue, is a different bracha. What bracha? Shema Koleinu. Right? Isn't that Shema Koleinu, where we're asking Hashem to accept our tefillot? Right? Right, but I'm saying, but if the bakasha Hashem accept our tefillot is the beginning of Hodah, so what's the difference between Shema Koleinu and Ritzei? Right? You want to say what's following me here? And here we come to something very important about what Shema Koleinu is. In fact, about what Shemoneh Esrei Bechlal is about, and what other things are about. Here we come to a very, very important and deep point. Okay. So, we're going to take a deep breath, and move into the next point. Before I can explain, before I can suggest what I think Shema Koleinu is, okay? I'm going to suggest that Shema Koleinu is something different than what I just described for it, say. Before I can try to clarify, Zerah Hashem, what Shema Koleinu is, I want to ask you what may seem like an unrelated question, but it's very related. What other tefillah, what other bracha, is the twin of Shema Koleinu and Shemoneh Esrei? And I meant what I said, but it was a little misleading, so let me say it more carefully. What other bracha or tefillah, not in Shemoneh Esrei, is the twin of Shema Koleinu, which is in Shemoneh Esrei? What parallel tefillah exists to Shema Koleinu? It's another tefillah that's like Mamash, it's a twin. What other tefillah, what other bracha is Mamash, a twin of Shema Koleinu? Mamash, easy question. I didn't say it. I'm not qualifying in any way. What tefillah / bracha is the twin of Shema Koleinu? There's no one in this room who does not know the answer to this question. You just have to access the information.
Do you have a hint?
Like, what area? I'm really curious.
You're gonna kick yourselves. Come on, think for a minute. What tefillah slash bracha, is the equivalent, is the parallel, is the twin to Shema Koleinu? It's so obvious. It's so easy. Come on. Barbara, come on. What? No, it's not. It's Pasha. I couldn't hear. If you gave an answer, I didn't hear. I'm not giving you any more clues. You have enough clues. Think about it.
Any random skill?
Could you say when the screen name?
Yeah, so we just
I can't even hear the suggestion this morning. No, when you think of it, tell me. Don't throw out
it. Can you just tell us if this is
wrong? Yeah, is it like
if you think about the words, there's another bracha that's so similar to it. Yes.
It's not like one thing. Like that thing.
That's not a tefillah bracha. I mean, certainly not a bracha. But you're right. You know, there is a. But there's something closer. It's not bad, but something bad.
Like,
not bad, but the same better. How about Tefillat Haderach? Oh, yeah, right? What's the Chatima of Tefillat Haderach? What's the Chatima? What's the Chatima of Tefillat Haderach? Okay. Right? Isn't that clearly?
Yeah.
Right? There's another Shomea Tefillah. There's another bracha of Shomea Tefillah other than in Shmon Esrei. Tefillah Tadera. Different discussion. Okay.
Discussion. Whatever
you I would say, but there are different opinions. But in any case, Chevra, Tefillah Tadera, correct? Everyone understand what I'm saying? Right? Same bracha. It's mamash the same bracha of Shomea Tefillah. The Chatima is exactly the same. Of course, it's clearly a related bracha. What's the common denominator between Shomea Tefillah and Shomea Tefillah meaning Shmon Esrei and Tefillah Tadera? The answer is very simple. I'm sorry, what do you want to say, Jenny? The answer is the following. I think the answer is the following. What I'm saying in Shmon Esrei, in Shema Koleinu, what I'm saying in Tefillat Haderach is the same basic concept. It's a very, very important yisod. There are two types of tefillah. There are two types of tefillah. And each one has its strengths and its weaknesses. And we need to discuss this more, Ezra Hashem. But there are two types of tefillah that are fundamentally different and that have different strengths and different weaknesses. There's tefillah that I say in a organized, kind of a dispassionate, let's say, thought out, planned, and formalized, and carefully formulated way. Such as Shmon Esrei, right? A tefillah where, okay, I'm now going to set aside time to daven because it's time or because I'm glad, whatever it is, but I'm now going to daven and I'm going to go kiseder and there is a phase one and a phase two and a phase three and within them there's a progression from the idea of da'at, the idea of tshuvah, the idea of refuah. Everything is like very mesudar and very, very thought out and very careful and every word measured, v'chule, right? Formalized prayer, that's one type of tefillah, tefillah kefa, right? And then there's another type of tefillah where I'm in a crisis or where I'm, you know, confronted with a situation and I suddenly scream out to Hashem in tefillah, right? Different types of tefillah. There's a tefillah that I say, okay, 5:45 minyan, I go and I say, you know, brachot, and then I say psukei dezimra, and then I say birchot kriyashma, and kriyashma, and gal yisrael, and so my kulot tefillah, and then the shmona esrei could stay there and standing properly and with all the details and in the order and the progression and everything. It's very, very, right, very mesudar, very and very thought out, very, you know, there's a whole thought process behind it, v'chulei v'chulei. That's one type of tefillah. The tefillah, where a person suddenly is confronted by a danger, suddenly something happens, suddenly there's a crisis, or I'm worried about this, I'm afraid of that, is this or whatever it is. And I suddenly scream out to Hashem, help! You know, just like, whatever. And it has no organization, and no progression, and no formulation, and it's very, you know, chaotic, and it's very broken, and it's very disjointed. But it's also much more real and much more passionate and much more immediate and much more spontaneous. And you understand what I'm talking about? These two types of tefillot, right? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yeah.
Each type of tefillah clearly has its own particular strength and its particular weakness.